How you doing, church? Amen. It's a good day. It's a good day. Go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. I want to start this off with. I got a very, very important message to share today. Hallelujah. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it says these words, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them,'" say teaching, "'teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. You know, we here at Living Waters Chapel, we are a local church that focuses on discipleship. Say discipleship. Jesus gave us a command to make disciples. Amen. And that is a very clear mission from Jesus Christ himself. And we make that very clear in our mission and vision statement here at Living Waters Chapel. We want to equip and train you, right, to make the greatest impact on this earth with the calling and gifts that the Lord has given you. Amen. If you don't do that, if I don't train and equip you to do that, I'm failing as a pastor. Amen. Christians must be taught from the Word of God about many things. And here's the thing. So my job is to disciple. And so your job is this: allow me to disciple you. It's kind of hard to do that if people don't let you do it. Right? We need to be open to be discipled, corrected, and taught. Amen? Remember, think about this now. People are getting born again that were never brought up in church. They were never raised by Christian parents. We have anybody in here like that? You were never raised in church. You weren't raised by Christian parents, right? And you didn't attend church every Sunday. We just cannot assume that they know what is right and what is wrong. Amen. Now, some things are common sense. We get that. But a lot of Christians, and I'm talking about new Christians mostly, but a lot of Christians, they don't understand. They need to know and understand that, you need to know and understand that before coming to Jesus Christ, there were years and years and years of listening to evil and listening to worldly things, fake news, fake polls, fake news, come on, right? Listening to evil and worldly things that they have that have shaped the belief system on the inside of people. You understand that? All right? That is why the Word of God commands us as Christians to renew our mind, to be set free from this evil and worldly mindsets out there and beliefs that are in opposition to the Word of God. That's what the renewing of the mind process is. You're filling yourself with the Word, so you're stopping that opposition of everything that's against the Word of God. And that's why Jesus, again, commanded us to make disciples. That is the word make disciples. That is a process, of learning and gaining knowledge and understanding, and then from that knowledge and understanding, applying it to your life. Amen? So we need to extend some grace to new Christians when they first come in. Amen? And we need to not only extend that grace, don't leave it at that. We need to be apt to teach them. We need to teach them. Don't leave them that way. Amen? So today, I want to talk about a topic that's largely ignored by many Christians, and unfortunately, it's ignored by a lot of leaders in the body of Christ. Today, I want to talk about this: the Christian and politics. The Christian and politics. Get your popcorn ready. Here we go. Specifically, should Christians get involved in the political process? Should they get involved in government? Why and how? How many of you ever heard of this phrase? Oh, I never talk about politics and religion. Well, that's why this country's in such a mess. That's why it went down the hole. Amen? There's been a lack of, listen to me, a lack of discussion, a lack of discipleship, a lack of equipping, a lack of training on the topic of politics and Christians. By the way, congratulations to America, amen, for electing Donald Trump to be our next president. I heard that Kamala Harris changed her pronouns to has been. Right? Trump constantly saying, Kamala, you're fired. All right, that came to pass. Thank God for that. See, America has thwarted the possibility of socialism and communism once again. They overwhelmingly rejected it. Amen? Amen? Many Christians believe that they should not get involved in the political process and government in our country. They believe that we're only supposed to focus on our heavenly citizenship and neglect our earthly citizenship and duty. Listen to me. Again, that is the reason why this country has been going down the tubes for a long time. Christians neglecting their earthly citizenship duty. Listen to this. Evil triumphs when Christians are silent and do nothing. Jesus commanded us. He commanded us to go and occupy. Say occupy. Occupy until he returns. That word occupy, all you military people, that's a militant term. That means to take ground back for the kingdom of God. Amen? And the enemy, by the way, I heard some people say before, the enemy doesn't care. God doesn't care who's in office. He doesn't care who's the president. Let me just say this. Whoever won the election, Jesus is still going to be Lord. And we still obey him. But I hear people say, God, it doesn't matter to God. It doesn't matter to the enemy who's in office. Baloney! Because it's all about occupying. Occupying. The political process has everything to do with occupying a nation, a country, come on, a city, a state, a county, and a city. Say occupy. Now, here we go. So don't say those foolish things because they are foolish. God indeed does care. Amen. The Word of God is full of examples where people got in as king or queen and they became evil. And it caused tons of hardship for the people of God. All right? So Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. His desire is for us to impact every aspect of this world with the Word of God and to advance his kingdom. Listen to me, and that includes the political arena. Why? Why, Pastor James? I'm glad you asked, because I want to clear up some misunderstandings about what political politics means. What does it mean, right? The word politics, listen to this. There's so much ignorance and lack of knowledge on this topic, and Christians just throw it out of the way, why evil people take up office in our country and in our city and county, amen? Listen, the word politics is defined as the activities associated with the governance of a country or other area, especially the debate or conflict among individuals or parties having or hoping, here's the kicker, to achieve power. Who wouldn't want Christians in power over a country? Who wouldn't want Christians, people who believe in the principles in the Word of God, who wouldn't want Christians in those positions? I'll tell you who, ignorant Christians who have no clue what they're talking about when they cut politics down. Oh, I'm hot over this. Listen to me. The Greek word that is translated politics, you want to know what it means, the Greek literal meaning? It means this: affairs of the cities. Affairs of the cities. And you don't think that our Heavenly Father or Satan is interested in that? You don't think he's interested in the direction, the moral direction of a nation? Oh, you're sorely mistaken. Why do you think he fought so hard? Why do you think Trump tried to assassinate Trump so many times? Are you following me? Why do they got bogus lawsuits on him all this time? What? Just, come on, open your eyes. Get your head out of the sand, people. Amen? So, if we're expected to advance the kingdom of God on this earth, which we are, that would include the political arena that steers the direction, like I said, of a country, of a state, of a county, of a city, all right? So there's a reason why there's so much debate and conflict in the body of Christ on this area. It's because Satan and the kingdom of darkness don't want you and I to get involved in it. Plain and simple. Unfortunately, he uses ministers to coddle people on that fact. The enemy knows that if Christians fully engage in the political process, we will promote policies, we will promote laws that will shut down, listen, or at the very least, listen to me, because we live on an evil earth, right? Limit the influence of evil in that region, nation, country, county, city. It's probably not going to stop it because you got evil. You're going to have evil. We live in a fallen world, right? But it limits the influence of evil. That's why evil governments want to silence Christians. That's why they want to silence churches, all right? We as Christians, listen to me, we are the conscience of this country, of the country in which you live, wherever you're watching and listening from. We are the conscience of that area. It will literally take a huge cut if Christians truly get involved like we're supposed to. It will literally take a huge cut out of the influence of the kingdom of darkness. So don't tell me. I better never hear it again, especially from my people that are under this umbrella. Don't ever tell me that God is not interested in the political system because it directs a nation. So, and the enemy, by the way, has twisted a little thing called, I don't know if you heard of it or not, separation of church and state in the minds of Christians and people. That, by the way, that does not mean for the church to stay out of politics and the running of a country. It means that the state or government needs to stay out of controlling the church. That's what that means. Why? Because this entire country was founded on the Word of God, on godly biblical principles. Amen? Many people use that separation of church and state to keep Christians silent and out of politics. But that separation of church and state, listen to me, is nowhere to be found in the Constitution. Are you following me? It's been twisted. I'm not going to go into it because I got 8 more pages I need to get rolling on here. Do the research yourself, though. What many evil politicians try to do is that they try to make issues such as abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism. They try to make those only political issues instead of moral issues. So when Christians get involved with it, they cry, separation of church and state, get your hands off and be silent. But they're moral issues, amen? First and foremost, again, they're moral issues. They are moral issues that are integrated. Listen to me. They are moral issues that are integrated. Say integrated into the political process. All right. You can't separate morals from political process. You can't do it. That's why Christians need to get involved in the process, because they're moral issues we're dealing with. Amen. Remember, the definition of politics is the governance of a country or an area. All right. It sets the spiritual and moral direction of a country, of a state, of a county, and a city. So the moment we veer away from godly principles from the Word of God, we are opening the door to the enemy. We're opening the door to a curse in our country. Go to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. This has to be taught from pulpits. Amen. It's so important. It's such a lack of wisdom on the church to stay out of the political process. Proverbs 14:34, and it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So this is specifically talking about the direction of a nation in this verse. Not at a personal level, say nation. It's talking about a direction of a nation. If it's talking about the direction of a nation, guess what it's talking about? The political process. Because a nation's directed by the political process. Amen? Oh, some of y'all could have some real good conversations at Thanksgiving this year after this sermon. They got to learn it sometime. They got to learn it, right? Do it after dinner so you get the good meal, and then they can kick you out after. That's how you got to run that thing. Mama didn't raise no dummy, right? But it's talking about a nation or a country at the government level. Do you catch that? It's talking about a nation or country at a government or a political level, okay? And it sets the spiritual and moral direction of a nation. Again, let me say it one more time. Don't tell me that politics aren't important to a nation, state, a county, or a city. Because the direction of that area, from the political aspect, it will either bless those locations or it will bring a curse to those locations. Go to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Oh, I cringe when I hear Christians say that this is not important. You know, they twist it like, oh, you're worshiping Donald Trump. No, we're not. We just understand the importance of having leadership that have godly principles and laws that they're willing to put in place. God can use a donkey. Are you following me? We're not worshiping the man. But the Bible's very clear. The Bible's very clear. If you have an evil leader, it's going to go downhill, baby, real quick. Proverbs 29:2. Listen to this. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when a wicked man rules, the people groan. How y'all been feeling the last 4 years? I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of moaning on my part. Amen. This verse is contrasting righteous leaders from wicked leaders, meaning from this standpoint, from the policies and laws that they're enacting in that location. Amen. This verse can be applied to any form of leadership, right? You get a bad pastor, it can make the church a real bad place to be in. Amen. But so this verse can be applied to any form of leadership, including, though, government leaders. All right? When wicked leaders are in power, it brings bondage to the people. And they moan. Why? Because of the evil spiritual influence and the manifestations of that evil, of the curse that they bring into that region. When righteous leaders are in authority, the people rejoice and feel secure. There's a blessing and godly prosperity attached to it. Show me a Democrat-run city, and I'll show you a curse attached to it. Why? Because the Democrat Party accepts anything opposite of the Word of God. Yeah, I said it. I sure did. Terrible, terrible areas. When you got wrong, ungodly leadership, it brings a whole city and region down. When President Trump got elected on Wednesday morning,
I felt like a heaviness or a depression or a curse be lifted off. Even in the service today, I sense a joy. I sense there's like refreshing. Why? Because we're finally getting a leader that's going to put godly policies in process and take care of all the corruption that's going on. Amen? So much evil and unrighteousness was allowed in our country that it was a den of demons and the kingdom of darkness had their way. All right? And when that happens, there are going to be negative consequences and pain from that happening. The Word of God's very clear about that. So a part of the discipling process within the body of Christ, listen to me, is to teach Christians the importance of impacting every area of society by advancing righteousness, by advancing the kingdom of God, even in the political process. Christians, you need to be taught about this. You need to be discipled about this. Why? How do you disciple someone about this? Are you ready? Ready? Here we go. Christians don't vote for political candidates and leaders that support evil and ungodly policies and principles that are against the Word of God. Clear and simple. Christians don't do that. Followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, ambassadors for Christ, don't elect ungodly leaders. Plain and simple. All right? The Word of God is our voter's guide as Christians. The Word of God should be the only thing that forms your beliefs and values in your life, right? Really, here's the deal. You could just stop your whole search for a candidate on just one thing. Abortion. If they're for abortion, it's done, game over, they don't get your vote. It's over. Are you following me? It's done. That's the game changer. Lights out. Amen. Abortion. You know, they always talk about the woman's reproductive rights. You know what reproductive right a woman has? Don't have sex if you don't want a baby. Men, don't you? Same with you. Takes two to tango. Amen. That's your right. Once there's conception in that womb, there is no choice at that point. Are you following me? Murder's murder. Abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, you know, the gender reassignment. Let me let you in on a little secret. There's no such thing as gender reassignment because your gender's baked into your DNA. You know, that's why it's called mutilation. You can't change a gender. You can't change a gender. But you can mutilate. Can you believe these Democrats are okay with kids having mutilation done to them? How, just so many reasons of not to vote for any Democrat ever again in your lifetime. Oh. Same-sex marriage, they're some of the major issues, right? But again, I got to say this. The Democrat platform supports all those things. Basically, like I said, anything that's against the Word of God, yep, Democrats are for it. They weren't even welcome at Kamala's rally. Right? Oh, you're in the wrong place, she said. You're fired, Kamala. Romans 1. Romans 1. Come on, somebody. Romans 1. 28 through 32, I want to take a look at here. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which were not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, that they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. See, there's the Democrat platform right here, right in Romans. Look at that, isn't that great? Wow. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, That though, listen to this. This is what I want you to get. That those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, underline it, but also approve of those things that practice them. I want you to notice in that last part, not only does it come against those who are willingly doing these evil things, but those who approve of those things. You know what another way that you could approve of someone doing it? Voting for that individual. That's pushing those policies. Come on. There is a difference between walking in love toward the unsaved that are in deep sin and approving sin. We're supposed to walk in love toward everybody, right? Don't matter if they're a homosexual. Don't matter if they had an abortion in the back. Whatever it is, we are to walk in love, right? But at the same time, we're not to approve of that sin. Christians mix that all up. They mix it all up because they think they're not being loving if they don't approve of it. But we're supposed to love our enemies. Oh, come on, somebody. Approving sin means this. You want to know what approving sin means? Well, how do I know that if I'm approving sin? It means this, that you are not speaking against it. You're being silent about it. Amen? Someone in bondage to homosexuality, transgenderism, or someone who had an abortion, we can have compassion on them. Amen. And we want to see them delivered. We want to see them saved, set free, healed, restored, back to God's plan for their life, while at the same time, listen to me, by not approving of the sin. Right? Hate the sin, love the person. All right? Just because you don't approve of those things doesn't mean you're not walking in love. Let me just say that one more time. Just because you don't approve of those things doesn't mean you're not walking in love. All right? By the way, we as Christians, in fact, we're expected to hate sin. We're expected to hate sin, but love the people. Amen? We got to love, or else how are we going to reach them? We got to reach them. Amen? But you got to hate the sin. And part of loving a person is telling them the truth. Telling them, hey, you're on a one-way road to hell. Let me show you a better way in the Word of God. Amen? Liberals, by the way, are very effective in silencing Christians by calling us haters and not being tolerant. Don't fall for that deception. Are you hearing me? Don't fall for it. As ambassadors and representatives for Jesus Christ, we are commanded to preach and teach the Word of God. That's non-negotiable. Amen? We're supposed to be non-tolerant of sin. Amen? Oh, it's getting mighty quiet up in here. In this 2024 election that just happened, the majority of people in our country have spoken very clearly, very loudly, that they want to change from the current corrupt and evil administration. Amen? The Democrats, by the way, the Democrats were not able to rig this election this time for two major reasons. Number one, there wasn't the plandemic of COVID where they could cheat, right? Sending out mail-in ballots to every person, right? You ever see that 2,000 mules of people, Dinesh D'Souza, and where people are dropping, the same people are dropping and just ballots. So they used the, I didn't say pandemic, it said the plandemic. Right, if you don't think the China and the Democrats didn't know what was going on, your head's in the sand. Yep. Right? And number two, it was too big to rig. Amen. Why do you think all the polls from the mainstream media showed, oh, they're neck and neck, they were trying to set up for the rig? That's all it was. They were hoping that it would be close enough that where they could put in fake ballots to get her over the top. But it was too big to rig. I like that phrase. And finally, the Republicans put in policies in place that put a stop to a bunch of the nonsense in the voting process. Amen? Finally. All right? So safeguards were put in place for that. So it's shameful that so many Christians, they either refuse to vote at all or they vote for a candidate that's promoting evil policies that are against the Word of God. Both of those things should not be happening. I said this is discipleship 101 on the Christian and politics. Welcome to Living Waters Chapel. Welcome to Living Waters Chapel. Amen. By the way, did any of you see this? Some pastors and churches even invited Kamala Harris to speak because they supported her. My only reason to have her here is to get her born again and cast demons out of that woman. That would be the only reason that she would ever step foot in here. There would be absolutely no support of that kind of political candidate. Amen? No, I'm not racist. You know what? Give us a woman. Give us someone of a different color that has biblical policy. Sure, I'll vote for her. Are you following me? That's another lie of the Democrats. Oh, you're racist. You're racist. Oh, shut up. Just shut up. No, you were intentionally tanking this country. You are in being treasonous to this country. Are you following me? Why? So they could set it up for the new world, one world order. That's why they're trying to do it. That's why they're trying to kill President Trump. Are you following me? Because he's a hindrance to their agenda. Plain and simple. Why isn't this preached more in churches? It needs to be. Amen? So, Christians, I want to encourage you all to get involved with the politics and the government on every level, nationally, in your city, whatever. Even in the library boards, school boards. Next time around, think about running for one. But in the meantime, you know, go to some meetings. Let your voice be heard. Let them know you're there. They need to be held accountable. Amen? They need to be held accountable. Don't just sit back and be silent. Let your voice be heard. We have a mandate. Again, we have a mandate from heaven to advance the kingdom of God on this earth. And that's talking about advancing the will of God on this earth. We have to occupy, take back ground from the enemy. Amen? And we need to start contacting our leaders and voicing our biblical views, all right? By the way, those leaders, they're counting on you and I to be silent. You know that, right? They're counting on you and I just to sit down and not get involved so they can push their evil agenda through. You right? All right? Listen to this. I heard this phrase before. Casual Christians will eventually become spiritual casualties. We need to get involved. We need to get involved. Because you're going to have to give an account on Judgment Day to God for your own life. Yep. Amen. Amen. God's going to say, why didn't you stand up? What? Why did you vote for someone who is for abortion, murdering my creation? Think about it now. All right, here we go. As a Christian, you have a duty to reject any law or requirement by an evil government that would force you to disobey the Word of God. Acts chapter 4, 13 through 31. I'm not going to read it. I was going to, but I'm going to push through here. It talks about Peter and John were being arrested for healing a man. So the government, the religious leaders, the government, that was the government at the time, the governmental and religious leaders during that time, they forbid Christians to speak in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John said, well, we're not going to obey you, we're going to obey God. Amen? And then again in Acts 5, 29, Peter and the other apostles, they were told, don't talk about this Jesus. And they said this phrase, we ought to obey God rather than men. Hey, and this is the Holy Spirit gave me this. Listen to this. Obey the Creator over the created when they are in conflict. Obey the Creator over the created when there seems to be a conflict between the two. The Word of God always trumps. Amen? Oh, there it is, trumps. I didn't even think about that, but yeah, sure. That fits, right? That is the kingdom mindset we all need to maintain on this earth. We must judge righteously according to the Word of God. Amen? All right, not with our fleshly, worldly mindsets or opinion. Unfortunately, a lot of the corruptness in voting for these evil people, these Christians aren't renewing their mind. I mean, I would even say this. Are they even born again? How could you? If you were born again, you have a new heart that's bent toward God. Could you even really? Could you fill in that oval for that evil person? Ugh! I don't know. God knows that. Either that or they got lots of sewer up in their mind that they didn't flush out after they got saved. It's one or the other. You either not saved or you got a lot of sewage up there. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, so after being threatened, they went to their own companions or company, and they had a prayer meeting. By the way, let me just camp out on this one, okay? They went to their own companions or company. You know, unfortunately, elections like this, it does bring a division among friends. It brings a division, yay, even to family members, doesn't it? And, you know, some people say, well, you know, it shouldn't divide. But I seen a post this week, and it was like, oh, my goodness, that's exactly what's happened. Listen to this. This post, this pastor in New York said this. He said, well, it's not a matter of you just don't like someone. It's a matter of light and darkness. It's a matter of light and darkness. Think about that. I mean, that kind of puts a whole other shade on it, doesn't it? Light and darkness. There's a, I can't let that person in my inner circle. Be honest. Be honest, all of you. When you seen a Harris and Walls sign on someone's yard, what's the first thing that came into your mind? I'll wait. Huh? You know, it's just like, what are these people thinking? See, yeah, right. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Pastors deal with the flesh too. Because every time I'd see one, I'd say, man, that person's got to be an idiot. And I say that to tell you, pastors are human too. We got to fight those kind of thoughts too. Now, we'll love them. We want them to get born again and saved, but wow. Who do that? Right? So they went to their own companions and company. And they had a prayer meeting where God asked them, they asked God for three things after they were threatened by religious leaders. All right? Number one, they said, God, give us boldness to speak the word of God. Right? And they asked God then, number two, to stretch out his hands to heal. Number three, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of Jesus. If you don't know what to pray for, those are some pretty good things. Those are three pretty good things to put on your prayer request there to God. Amen? Boldness to speak the word of God, prayer that God would heal people as you go out in your ministry, and signs and wonders would be done. Hallelujah. So not only did God answer their prayer, but it says that place where they prayed was shaken. It was shaken because they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. So here's my point. It's important to gather and pray with other like-minded Christians, to have that unity of heart, that unity of purpose. That's why the division comes in the political sense. Light and darkness. Think about it. Amen. It's a spiritual thing. Why? You can't separate the spiritual aspect from politics. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. So it's important to gather and pray with those individuals. That's why it's important to be connected to the right local church. Amen? And people, you know, so it's got to happen. You got to be at a place where they're teaching you this kind of stuff. Amen? Why? Here's why. It's all about unity of heart and unity of purpose to advance the kingdom of God. Is that not our goal here at Living Waters Chapel? Amen? So now, I know I can hear it in the spirit now. Someone's saying, yeah, okay, you're talking all this stuff about government. What about Romans 13? What about Romans 13 about obeying the government, right? Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Go to Romans 13. Let me point something out to you that maybe you never seen before. Some people use this passage to say, hey, whatever the government's telling you to do, you got to do it. You got to shut your mouth and you just got to be a robot and go right into that evil. Wrong. Romans 13, 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who will resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you and for good, But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, meaning respect or reverence, honor to whom honor. All right, now, the whole key that I want you, that we need to zero in on, is verse 3. Verse 3 says this, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. That's the entire key to this passage. You want to know what it's saying? God is telling us the true purpose for a God-appointed leader is that they are the ones that are a terror to evil works and not to good or to righteous works. So, what then? Listen to me. What happens then when you have a corrupt government that weaponizes the Department of Justice? They weaponize the FBI. Come on, somebody. And they go after law-abiding citizens just because the law-abiding citizens are not doing what that evil government's telling them to do. Did you see that right there? It says, now those rulers have become, those when a government turns evil, listen, those rulers have become rewarders of evil instead of rewarders of good. That's the key to it right there. When a government starts rewarding and doing evil, you are under no obligation to obey that government or that law. Your biggest, the higher law is the word of God in your relationship with your heavenly Father. That good standard is set by the word of God, by the way. Hello, anybody awake? Do you see that in there? Yeah, I mean, it's clear as mud to me. Remember this, God may appoint leaders, but they still have a free will and can become corrupt and evil. That doesn't mean that was the will of God. Are you following me?
Yep.
Now, some people say, well, in the last days, you know, these evil things are going to happen so the end of the world can come and all that. I believe this. I don't believe that's the will of God for it to happen like that. I think God's telling us what corrupt man is going to do. Are you following me? There's a difference. Because some people say, well, the country's going to go down the tubes because of the end times. That doesn't mean, and so when people think that that's the will of God, guess what they do? Nothing. We're still expected to stand for righteousness, even in these end times, in the evil events. Some people even think they're doing God a favor by voting for evil government leaders. Oh, we're speeding up the end times. You idiot. You idiot. You fool. No, God's telling us what's going to happen. It doesn't mean he wants it to go down that way. Oh, come on. My goodness. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. Amen? My point is this. So we are only to obey those leaders and governments as long as it doesn't violate the commands and standards of the word of the living God. Oh, I'm talking about discipleship today with the whole political and government deal. Amen? So according to verse 4, God appointed leaders, the will of God, all right, that they're supposed to be ministers or servants for good and not for evil. So if a government, if a leader becomes corrupt, all right, running the country or wherever, your duty, you have a duty, listen to me, you have a duty to resist that evil. Oh, now it's really getting quiet. You have a duty to resist that evil and promote righteousness. I'm not talking about violence. Hello, somebody. I'm talking about you better let your voice be heard and you better stand your ground. Why do you think Christians are going to get thrown in prisons in the future? It's not for doing what the evil government wants you to do. I'll tell you that much. It's for resisting them. Now, I want to end it on this. We are getting ready. This kind of, I feel the prophetic touch on this point as I end here. We are getting ready to step into a period of grace and religious freedom to a level that we have never experienced before because of Trump getting back into office in his second term. Someone says, yeah, but he was in for 4 years before. Throw that away. Because they had rhinos in his administration. They had deep state trying to stop him at every move. Now, the seatbelt's off. The seatbelt is off, and things are, he's going to go scorched earth. He was just talking on one podcast. He said, I'm going to release the JFK files. He said in his first 4 years, he was told, don't release it, don't release. Why? What's there to see that you don't want the country to see? He said, I'm going to release it almost immediately when I get sworn in. You know what he said? You know what he called it? He goes, I'm going to release it for this reason. It's a cleansing for the country. Ooh, it's a cleansing for the country. Trump's going to expose this evil. Boy, if I was P. Diddy, I wouldn't want to be him right now. Are you following me? If I was these celebs in Hollywood that were connected to P. Diddy, I wouldn't want to be attached to any of that. I mean, I'm telling you, he's getting ready to pull that mask off, baby, on everything. So get ready. So here's the deal. It's a supernatural, the Holy Spirit said it this way, it's a supernatural space of grace. It's a supernatural space of grace. The entire spiritual atmosphere is starting to shift right now. Listen, and so that's why it's foolish to ignore and to say that God is not interested in politics, all right? You have no idea what you're talking about. The Trump administration, listen to me, was and he will be a friend to Christians in the White House again. All right? He's going to put people in righteous policies in place. Is he perfect? No, he's not. I get that. No. But guess what? I do believe he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. He's a real baby Christian. You ever been there before? Or are y'all perfect when you got saved? Huh? Yeah, I thought so. So he's going to put people and righteous policies in place that will be a huge advantage and favor for Christians to occupy and carry out our mission in this country. Again, we're not worshiping Trump or anybody, any leader. We know that he's just this, an obedient vessel. Do we give honor to where honor's due? Absolutely. He is an obedient vessel to shift this nation back to righteousness. Amen? Amen. Jesus wasn't on the ballot, but flawed humans were. Amen? That'd be great if Jesus was, but he wasn't, right? So God can use whoever he chooses to do that. At this time, he has chosen President Trump and his new administration to do just that. And many Christians see and understand that. Unfortunately, many don't. We'll try to pull them along, right? Exorcisms right after church here today. But this was, make no mistake about it, This was and is a spiritual battle for the heart and soul of this country and of the people of this country. The stakes were extremely high in this election, right? I know we hear that all the time in elections. No, it really was. It really was high. Millions, and even with those stakes high, many Christians did not vote. Many, but don't worry, a lot of the unbelievers with common sense took your place. Thank God. Right? It's a spiritual blindness, right? From an unrenewed mind. So this country will go from light, from darkness to light on Inauguration Day on January 20th. And that, like I said, that process has already begun. So we must take advantage of this historic time of being able to take our country back for the kingdom of God. This is about the kingdom of God. This is not about, oh, our 401ks are going to soar. Well, praise God for that too, right? I mean, let it all. Why? Well, that's from the blessing. That's from the blessing of having godly leadership, put godly principles in place. We're going to take it, but this is a spiritual thing. Are you following me? Again, there will always be evil on this earth until Jesus returns, but in this country, this is what's going on with this whole next term. Are you ready? If you take anything out of this, take this. This will be a time, the Holy Spirit said, where there's a restraining, a holding back of the evil influence of the kingdom of darkness. Are you following me? For us to come in. The Holy Spirit is saying this, that hearts will be open like never before to receive the gospel message. We must be equipped, we must be trained, discipled, and ready to go. To go into the enemy's camp, to pull out those in darkness and those in bondage. We cannot pass up this opportunity. We are entering into a supernatural season. I'm telling you. Don't waste this amazing God-given opportunity. It's time for every Christian, listen to me, to get involved in the political process and government in this country, in this state, in the counties and cities in which you live. It's time to be history makers, Christians. It's time to reap the harvest of souls and advance the kingdom of God like never before. It's time to occupy this country that was founded on the word of the living God. So next time someone says, God don't care about politics, you tell them to listen to Pastor James' message. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard. Let your presence be felt in the areas that need the light to be shifted to righteousness. It's time to awake and arise to the occasion, to this advantage of this space of grace in our country. Let's stand up in this place. It's the space of grace. Hallelujah. Prayer team, come on down. Now, maybe there's someone in this place. You've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you need to make that decision, because honestly and frankly, this is no scare tactic. You don't know when you're going to take your last breath on this earth, and you have one shot, and it's while you have breath in your lungs to make Jesus Lord of your life. If you've never done that, I want you to come down and pray with one of our prayer members to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Maybe you never received the Holy Spirit baptism. Guess what? You need that, the Holy Spirit's power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Amen? If you've never done that, I want you to come forward. And, you know, here's the deal. Maybe you're feeling backslidden today. Maybe you were a Democrat. Maybe you're taking hold of policies that have been against the Word of God. But today, after hearing this message, I'm serious. After hearing this message, you're like, wow, I've been totally off base and wrong. And you're like, I want to come back to God. I want to make things right. I want you to come down and pray with one of the prayer team members. Amen. If you need prayer for anything else, we'll stay and pray for you. Take advantage of our prayer team. Amen. There's an anointing up here for that. So, by the way, I will be at the barn, the Hope Barn in Lapeer on Saturday night. At 6:30 it starts. Mike and Michelle Cruzell, who did worship here that one Sunday, they're going to be doing praise and worship down there.
prayer team, if you want to come down and help pray for people, come on down. So God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. And is there anything else? Am I missing anything? I don't think so. Get out of here. Love you all. All right.